I'd like you to turn with me to Psalms 37 and verse 23 this morning. Actually, you don't need to turn there, especially since most of you haven't even sat down yet. So you can just listen while I read it to you. Psalm 37, 23. This is our text this morning for the Sunday school lesson. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And in the King James Bible, it says, the steps of a good man, and that word good is in italics to show that it's not in the original Hebrew, and yet they've inserted the word good because it's obviously implied by the context, since the steps of an evil man are not ordered by the Lord, and the Lord certainly doesn't delight in his way. So, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, by the steps, it's talking in the Hebrew about the total lifestyle, the total life of a man, of a good man. And they are ordered. They are established. They are put in order with rhyme, with reason, with purpose by the Lord, not by the will of man, not by impulses from demonic spirits, but by the Lord. Now, what we're going to be talking about here this morning is ordering your steps before the Lord. And we're going to be talking about planning your schedule, planning your life, allowing the Lord to order your steps, and how to make the most productive and efficient use of your time, and how to avoid falling into the trap of leading an undisciplined life. Now, as soon as I announce that subject, I know that some people are immediately going to go into manifestations. Because demons of chaos, demons of sloth, demons of disorder get upset and start stirring within. Demons of fear of failure, demons of unbelief, excuse-making spirits, twisting spirits that are going to try and twist what I say and twist the way you hear it. And about two dozen more. Or more, evil spirits are going to immediately start battling this thing. Now, there are a lot of people whose lives are really being run to a large degree by demon spirits, and they don't even know it. And they work in an atmosphere of chaos and disorder. And I would like to pray right now, have you join with me, and I would like to bind demonic spirits and especially twisting spirits that are going to try to get people to drop ministries that they shouldn't drop because George said, or to get people to take on too much or to justify doing too much because George said, and I want to bind those spirits, and I want to bind spirits of unbelief, spirits of fear. You should not be sitting there right now thinking, this morning I'm going to get whipped, you know, and so you're just sitting there cringing, waiting for the blows of the stick to fall on you because you're leading an undisciplined life and a disorderly life in many ways, and you know it. Yeah, there's chaos in your life. There's lack of scheduling. There's inefficiency. There's wasted time, and you know it, and you're guilty about it, and so now you're sitting there waiting to get hit. That's a demon. Now, we're going to bind every demonic spirit, and we're going to believe that God wants to do you good this morning. We're going to believe that He wants to speak that which will liberate you this morning, which will set you free, which will make you a happier person. That's what we're going to be believing for this morning, okay? Not for a whipping, but for a blessing, okay? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against every demonic spirit of unbelief. We come against every twisting spirit. We come against spirits that would try to work through me to make me say things wrong, unqualified things. We come against demons that would make people hear things wrong and receive things wrong. We bind every lying spirit in Jesus' name. We bind spirits of unbelief in Jesus' name. God, we would receive even from you this morning in Jesus' name. God, and we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, In this lesson, I'm going to set forth a number of propositions, and some of these may be completely foreign to how you've thought and how you've lived. But you must open your mind to it if it's in accord with God's Word. Don't judge it by the fact that it's foreign to how you live and therefore you can't receive it and incorporate it into your life. But judge it rather by, is this fellow speaking according to the Word? Now, we've had a number of questions that have been turned into Lynn Kaufman, who is in charge of the scheduling ministry. And I'm probably not going to have time to answer all those specific questions this morning. But we have made provision for all those questions to be answered, and I'm going to be getting into that at the end of the lesson. Now, there are two keys to success in this realm of having your life ordered by the Lord and living a fully productive life and a life which allows you to be happy and productive and have enough time for all things and be in balance in your schedule. There are two keys, and I'm going to give them to you in order of importance. Number one is efficiency through planning. And the second key is proper balance in planning. Now, that may surprise some of you. You may think, well, if I had a proper schedule, if God came down from heaven and handed me a schedule and said, here is your schedule, walk ye in it, then I'd be okay. But that's not true. What's even more important than that is efficiency through planning how you live that schedule so that you can successfully live that schedule. And see, that is the most important thing, is running your life in such a way that within the general schedule that you have of what I'm talking about is how much time you spend work, how many Bible college classes you take, what ministries you're in, how many prayer meetings you're in, all these kinds of things. The biggest thing is not having that imbalance. The biggest thing is operating efficiently and properly within that schedule so that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing when you're supposed to be doing it. Okay? So the number one thing is efficiency through planning. And the number two thing is proper balance in your planning and in your schedule. Now, we're going to talk first and longest about efficiency in planning. Most people are not realizing their full potential as Christians or as humans. Talents lie buried due to unbelief, unwillingness, demonic bondages, and a host of other reasons, one of which is inefficiency in planning. And you've heard messages on faith and willingness and things. This morning you're going to hear a message on efficiency in planning. Okay? Now, most people who are overwhelmed and go into confusion and or despair about getting things done do so not because there is literally too much to do, but because they are trying to do it without prioritizing and planning. Okay? That is the biggest problem. It's just like the guy who says, what I need is more money. And you sit down with him and you go through the whole thing and it immediately becomes apparent that what he doesn't need is more money. What he needs is to be able to manage his money, you see. And if he had more money, he'd waste more money. He'd waste it in a bigger way. And the same thing is true of time. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples, and these examples are not case histories from the files of George Alberts. These are composites and not intended to describe anyone in particular. But I'm going to give you some examples from life to show you what I'm talking about here. Example number one. John is a single 20-year-old Bible college student, and his schedule calls for 25 hours a week of work, 15 hours a week of Bible college, 3 services a week, 1 prayer meeting, and 1 ministry. And this ministry could be witnessing, it could be volunteering in different ways around the church, it could be new convert counseling, it could be music ministry, so any of those kinds of things, and a lot of other things I haven't named, could be that ministry. But he's got 1 ministry per week. Also, daily prayer time, time for errands and or projects, time for dating, socializing, etc., are all in his schedule. And this is not an unreasonable schedule. 25 hours work, 15 hours Bible college, 3 hours service, 1 prayer meeting, 1 ministry, dating, so on, prayer, not an unreasonable schedule. Yet he constantly complains that he lacks time and isn't getting things done. If only I had more time, John wails. But, and this is the key, during homework time, he changes the oil on his car. During errand project time, he chats with his friends. During sleep time, he chats over coffee at Denny's. During prayer time, he studies, thus justifying his contention that he doesn't have time to pray. Okay, are you getting the picture? This is John's problem, you see. He doesn't have a basically unreasonable schedule. He's not taking too much Bible college. He's not working too many hours. He does not have too many ministries. He is not running off to too many prayer meetings. John's problem is that he's not really living according to the schedule that he has. He's not really planning his time and using it. He's allowing demonic spirits and other people and circumstances to come in and crowd out that which was first delivered, as it were, you see, that which God would give him and lead him into. God would lead him into taking 15 hours of Bible college and to doing these certain ministries and things like this. And we're assuming here, for the sake of argument, that John is in proper balance as far as his basic schedule. In other words, the ministry he's in is the ministry that the Lord wants him to be in. The prayer meeting he's in is when he's supposed to be in, and he is supposed to be taking 15 hours of Bible. Okay? So that's where we're at. So that's not the problem here with John. The problem with John is he allows demonic spirits to come in and undo the plan of God and make him fall into the plan of the devil. You, week by week, and even day by day, are living out a plan, whether you know it or not. You're either living out the devil's plan or the Lord's plan. And so, if there is an absence of planning, if you're not sitting down and planning out your week, what are you going to be doing on your day off? If you're not planning those things, you're going to 99% of the time fall into the devil's plan, because he does sit down and work out a plan for you. And he works diligently to get you to come into that plan every week. He has a plan for your day off, a definite plan. And he works diligently to get you to fall into that plan. And so if you don't have a plan of your own and there's a vacuum there, you're going to go and fall. What happens in a vacuum? Mike, physicist, what happens in a vacuum? Drop a weight into a vacuum and what happens? Bang. Okay? You're going to fall right into the devil's plan. Okay. So, example number 2, Doris. Doris is 35, married with 3 kids, ages 9, 6, and 3. She works 20 hours a week to help pay for Christian school and so forth and expenses in the family. Her husband works full time and is a Christian and so forth. She attends 1 prayer meeting. Now, she works 20 hours a week. She's got 3 kids, ages 9, 6, and 3. She attends 1 prayer meeting, 3 services a week. She has 1 3-hour per week ministry. She has 1 ministry that requires no more than 3 hours per week of her time. That's her schedule. And again, we're going to assume for the sake of argument here that this schedule is indeed a schedule that God is pleased with, and that God wants her to be spending those 3 hours a week on this ministry. He wants her in that particular prayer meeting. He's pleased to have her be working the 20 hours a week to help put the kids in Christian school and blah, blah, blah. Okay? Doris's schedule allows time for housework, personal prayer, time with the kids, time with her husband, time alone with no demands being made on her, etc. It is not an unreasonable schedule. Yet she complains constantly about lack of time. She's always threatening to quit her job or to quit her prayer meeting, and as it is, her attendance is sporadic, or to quit her ministry, her 1 3-hour ministry a week that she has. If only I had more time, Doris sobs. But during house cleaning time, she visits with Gladys, who dropped in. During her time to be with the kids, she prayed with Sylvia over the phone, who's going through her 19th nervous breakdown. During her prayer time, she reads a book to little Johnny. She feels guilty because she's not spending enough time with Johnny, so she does that during her prayer time. During her alone time, when she's supposed to just be able to be alone and relax without any demands being made on her, she madly rushes to do her housework, which didn't get done because of Gladys dropping in. During her sleep time, she has a major four-hour discussion at her insistence with her husband about their relationship because she feels a quote-unquote need driving her to discuss it then and there. And you can replace that word need with the word demon. Now, I won't ask who said that. I don't want to implicate any wives here. Now, let's go back over this again. During house cleaning time, she visits with Gladys, who just happened to drop in. Do you know that in the life of a Christian, about 90% of the time, Gladys does not just happen to drop in? Gladys, and this is not to blame Gladys, she doesn't know that she's doing it. Gladys is being used by the devil. The devil is sending Gladys. Now you say, well, you know, that sounds a little extreme. Why would the devil send Gladys to interfere with your housework? What's so important about your housework? Well, let's keep going down the list and we'll find out what's so important about your house. Because you don't get the house working done, you bump something else, right? You either have a filthy house, which is a reproach and a bad testimony, or you bump into prayer time, you bump into family ministry time, you bump into ministry time, you bump into something else. There ain't no free lunch. Amen? Okay? So, during her time to be with the kids, she prays on the phone with Sylvia, who's going through her 19th nervous breakdown. Now, she's just getting ready to move into her time to be with the kids, and she gets the call from Sylvia. Sylvia's on the phone. Sylvia's all torn up, and she thinks, well, now, boy, Sylvia's in a crisis. Now, what's more important? Playing this little game of dot-to-dot with my kids or Sylvia's big crisis? Do you know what's really more important? You know what's really more important? I'll tell you what's really more important. What's more important at that particular time for Doris is to be doing the dot-to-dot with the kids. You know, and that's a revelation to some people. If I'm on the floor playing Monopoly with my kids down in the rec room, and somebody who's going through a big crisis comes and bangs on my door, you know, and their husband just threw them out of the house, or their wife threw them out of the house or something, and their marriage is breaking up and all this, and it's a major crisis, and they want help right now, and so they bang on my door, and they peek in the window and see me down on the floor playing Monopoly. They bang on the door, I open the door, and they start unloading, and I say, well, okay, I can't deal with that right now, and I'm just going to pray with you, and I'll make an appointment with you to see you next week, and so on, or you know, this week or something, and so on. And so they say, and if they didn't say anything, I would just pray with them and let it go with that. But if they challenge me and say, well, wait a minute, I looked in the window and I saw all you're doing is down there playing Monopoly with your kids. Are you saying that your Monopoly game is more important than my marriage? I would look them straight in the eye, and I would say, at this particular time, what I am supposed to be doing before the Lord Jesus Christ is playing Monopoly with my kids. And God is big enough to take care of you and your marriage, and me and my marriage, as long as you and I are both doing what we're supposed to be doing when we're supposed to be doing it. So I'm just going to pray with you, and we're going to make an appointment, and I'll see you next week. And whether he liked it or not, whether he received it or not, that would be it. And down the sidewalk he would go. Okay, and that's one of the reasons why after 8 years of being minister of counseling, I'm still minister of counseling. And I'm still sane, and my marriage is still in one piece, and my kids are not all flung out of shape, and so on. Okay, so you got to get these things in proper perspective. Now, during her prayer time, she reads a book to little Johnny. Because remember, she took time out from little Johnny to pray with Sylvia because of the crisis, right? So now she feels guilty about that. See, a lot of people are driven by guilt in their life. They're driven by guilt. And there are a lot of, when you start tracing what they do and why they do it, you'll find guilt behind it. Oftentimes, they're driven by guilt in their life. They're trying to somehow atone. They're trying to somehow make up for something. And so here she is, driven by guilt to do what she really shouldn't be doing during this time, because she hasn't been taking the time she should be taking, and genuinely hasn't been. She now takes the wrong time to do it. And so now she takes the wrong time to read the book to little Johnny because of the other things. See? Because of that so-called unimportant housework not getting done because of Gladys dropping in and everything else getting bumped. Okay? And so during her alone time, she madly rushes through her housework. See? So now, no wonder that she's threatening to quit her job and threatening to quit her ministry and threatening to quit her prayer ministry. See, she's got this madness, chaos, and all this in her life. And why? Because she doesn't have enough time? No. Because she's allowing the devil to come in and run her life. Okay? During her sleep time, she has the major four-hour discussion. She just feels this thing, we've got to talk about this now. We've got to solve it now. This kind of thing. She's driven by that thing, and so here we go. Midnight to 4 in the morning. Then the next morning she's tired and drug out and so forth and discouraged, and then that allows the enemy more room to come in and so on and so on. Okay. Now, those are two examples, so you can see what we're... Now we've defined the problem, haven't we? Principles to follow. Now, I'm going to list these for you rather quickly because I don't have a lot of time to spend on each one. Number one, draw up a properly balanced schedule with help from a counselor if necessary. If you really don't know what is a properly balanced schedule, how much time should I be spending doing this and so on? How many ministries should I have and what should they be? And am I taking on too many ministries or am I not taking on enough ministries? Am I taking too much Bible college? Am I taking too little Bible college? If you really don't know the answers to those questions, that's nothing to be ashamed of. And you can go ahead and talk to a counselor about it, and depending on what the area is, and get help. And we have Lynn Kaufman coordinates the different counselors, and we've got men counselors and women counselors and ones who can sit down with you to specifically do this of helping you to set up a schedule. Now, I'm going to make a statement now that's going to rock some of you right back on your heels. But I am going to qualify it. Every moment of your week should be covered by a plan. Every single moment. Now, that does not mean that you should never spend time laying on your back on the grass, staring at the sky, doing nothing. That does not mean that you should never spend time playing hide-and-go-seek with your kids. That does not mean that you should never go fishing. That does not mean you should never watch a basketball game. And I could give you a long list of other things that it doesn't mean. Okay? What it does mean is that when you're watching a basketball game, you're supposed to be watching a basketball game. When you're laying on the grass staring at the sky, you're supposed to be laying on the grass staring at the sky. Now, I'm going to get into a little more detail on this later, but the key here is that you plan for times that would be involving many options. In other words, you have a time in your plan for each week or each alternate week or however you do it where it's wide open as to what you can do, but it must be something that's relaxing and selfish, quote-unquote, you see? It must be something that you enjoy. So that if you feel like going fishing, you go fishing. Or if you feel like laying on your back, you lay on your back. If you feel like reading a book, you read a book. If you feel like watching a basketball game, you watch a basketball game. And you can do any of those six or seven things, and not one of them is necessarily more legitimate than the other, and you can do whichever of those you feel like doing. And that's not wrong, and it's not bad, if it's kept within definite parameters. Okay? And if it's part of an overall plan, a plan which is ordered of the Lord. Okay? Now, your plan, as I said, should allow option times for these things. your plan should also allow options for errands and projects. For example, you're planning next weekend to work in the garden, but it might rain, Seattle being what it is. And what you should have then is a backup plan, that if it rains, then you're going to do something inside the house that's a project that the rain won't affect. You know, you're going to have to repair this certain thing or fix this certain thing that needs to be fixed. You should have a list of all the things that need to be fixed around your house, all the things that need to be done in the garden, what the regular maintenance is for fertilizing the plants when they're supposed to be fertilizing. You should have all these things listed out. And you should say, okay, next week I'm going to get out and weed the garden. But if it's raining, I'm going to stay inside and refinish the, you know, bedroom door instead, or whatever needs to be done, this kind of thing. Okay, and so those kind of, so if plan A, in the immortal words of Brer Fox, if you can't skin the cat one way, you skin the cat another way. You know, if you don't weed the garden this week, you weed it next week, and you do this so that you've got this thing, list of things to do, and ultimately they all get done without a lot of frustration and throwing up the hands and giving up and wailing because you don't have more time. So, okay, now, what you don't do is plan to do the gardening, but secretly inside hope that it rains so that you can goof off. That's what you don't do. You plan your goof off times. I mean that. You plan your goof off times, and you plan them as goof off times so that they're legitimate. And if it's time to do work, you do work, and you have options. Okay? Now, and if it's time to goof off, you goof off. Number two, do not allow your life to be run by other people's demons. I gave the example already about this Monopoly game and the Sylvia over the phone to Doris. Drop-ins, phone calls. You're just getting ready to move into this and do that. And usually it'll come at a time. If one of these things happened at a time when you were ministering to somebody who desperately needed to be ministered to, most people would know that to turn that aside and not to just interrupt and get up in the middle of the prayer session and do something else. But if you're doing something, you know, that's you know, like mundane around the house or something like this, and then somebody drops by, or somebody kind of comes by and wants to visit and chit-chat, or somebody comes by and they've got a little crisis or a big crisis or something, that's where it becomes a little more difficult for people, and because they don't realize that a lot of these things are demonically inspired. Now, when you're in the ministry, there are times when you may need to drop what you're doing to handle a crisis, and you do have to use your judgment in doing that, and I'm not suggesting that your schedule be so rigid that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, that Monopoly game will be played, and no matter what happens, the garden will be weeded. I'm not saying to be quite that dogmatic about it, but most people have a problem the other way. Most people have, or if you know, there's two ditches, but most people are out of balance in the other ditch, and they're just too easily distracted. And the devil is able to, if the devil knows that you're open to being distracted this way, he will send a steady stream of people with problems to your door. Or he will send a steady stream of drop-in visitors to your door. He won't send them to my door because he knows I'm not open. And they don't come to my door very often at all. But he'll send them to your door if he knows you're open. Okay? Now, number three, do not assume. So number two is don't allow your life to be run by other people's demons. And recognize that a lot of these interferences that come in to turn over that schedule which has been ordered by the Lord are demonically inspired. Number three, do not assume that ministry leaders and or elders know your total life circumstances at all times and will not possibly ask you to do anything that you don't have time for. Rebuke man-pleasing demons that will not allow you to say no, even to the pastor. Some people would never say no to the pastor, but they need to learn to say no to the pastor. The pastor, the elders, and ministry leaders want you to say no when you truly can't. We don't want you to say no when you can, but you're, you know, too lazy, too selfish, too fearful, too unbelieving, too, you know, all the wrong reasons. But if there are right reasons, because you're following a schedule, if you're following steps which have been ordered by the Lord, and an elder or a minister calls you and says, "Brother, can you do this? Can you make a commitment to this? Can you do this every week?" And that would overturn the steps which have been ordered by the Lord, you are to say no to that. Because that minister and or elder or whatever will not necessarily know, and probably 99% of the time does not know, your total life circumstances and everything that's going on in your life. They have a need which they're trying to fulfill. They need a qualified person to do a certain thing, and that's what they're looking for. And if you're qualified and capable of doing it, and if they don't know that you're truly too busy to do it, they will in fact call you up and ask you to do it. But that does not mean that the Lord has directed them to do so. Okay? It's more likely that the Lord has given you direction for your life than them. It's if you're waiting on the Lord for direction. Now, if you're into a whole other trip of selfish living and, you know, a lot of other things, then that's not valid. But if your steps are ordered of the Lord, if you're waiting on the Lord, and before Him you're setting your schedule, then anything that's going to overturn that from any source should be said no to. Now, there is such a thing as changes that in schedules. And so you may be doing a certain ministry and a certain thing, and an elder may call you or a ministry meeter may call you and say, "Can you do this once a week? Can you make a commitment to this?" And before you just haul off and say no, you should say, "Well, I'll have to drop something else out of my schedule to do that, and maybe I should. So let me pray about it, and I'll get back to you." And if you mean that sincerely, that's probably the best answer you can give. Then you get before the Lord, and you say, "Okay, Lord, am I to drop this to do this?" And the Lord may let you know that you should. Okay? But if He doesn't let you know that you should, don't try to piggyback it impossibly onto what you've already got. Okay? Now, number four. Keep a calendar which shows a plan for all non-committed time. And by non-committed time, I mean besides school, job, meetings. If you've got a meeting you go to every week, or a job you go to 40 hours a week, services three times a week, and Bible college at certain times, those things are all set and fixed. And so you don't need to rewrite those every week. That's wasting time. But during the time that's not fixed, you should have a plan for all of that time. You should either have recreation planned, or family time planned, or errands or projects planned, or prayer planned, or something planned for that time. There should be no unplanned times in your week. There should be options. There should be goof-off times. There should be contingencies, but there should be no unplanned time. None. Okay, now, on a calendar, you do this planning. You sit down a week or two in advance, and you write down for your day off what you're going to be doing a week ahead of time. You're going to be weeding the garden. You're going to be changing the oil in the car. You're going to be taking the boys fishing. You're going to be taking the girls to a, whatever you take girls to. I don't have girls. You're going to be doing something. And you've got a plan for it. Okay? And you're sitting down before the Lord and saying, "All right, now what's the balance?" Or maybe you sit down with a counselor or whatever. You say, "All right, now what's the balance?" And once you know what the balance is, you stick to it. So you say, "Okay, we've got to get things done around here. The lawn has to be mowed, et cetera, et cetera. But also we've got kids that need to be ministered to and taken care of and have time spent with them." So you plan it, and you plan it, and you plan it, and you plan it in advance. And you have backup plans, and you have contingency plans. "I'm going to take the kids to the park, but if it rains, we're going to stay home and play a game." You see? This kind of thing. And you have this actually written on your calendar, just like an appointment. And you can either have a desk calendar that has all the squares on it, or you can have one of the little ones that has the flip pages or whatever you want, but you've got to have something like that. Okay? You can use a piece of notebook paper if you want, but have it written down. written down. You can't carry all this in your head. That's one of the reasons people throw up their hands and just let whatever happens, happens in life, is because they think that they're supposed to carry all this in their head some way and keep all the priorities straight and all the details straight. I got to pick up my suit at the cleaners. I got to do this and this and this. And then at 3 o'clock, we've got that. And somehow they're supposed to keep it all in their head. That's impossible. You can't do that unless you're a very super person. And so don't try to do that. But learn how to write. Write it down. Now, number five, errands and projects should be listed and prioritized on paper. And the entire family should be coordinated weekly with each other's lists. So if mom's planning to do a certain thing on Saturday, that's not going to interfere with what dad's planning to do, so that they're both needing the car at the same time. Or so that Junior wants to do this, and you coordinate as a family so that mom's plans and dad's plans and the kids' plans are all coordinated. That doesn't mean they have to be doing the same thing. Dad might be doing something, mom might be doing something else, and let's say it's a project day, and the kids are off doing something else, maybe they're playing, or maybe they're working on certain projects, depending on their ages and so on. But you're not all doing the same thing together necessarily, but you're coordinated, so that you're not interfering with each other and stepping on each other, okay? And so that your plans aren't interfering or precluding someone else's. So you coordinate it in this way, and you have it written on paper. Everybody knows what each other's going to be doing and so forth. Now, as I said, feeling overwhelmed is not due to the size of the list, but due to a lack of a list, a lack of a planned and written list. Point number six, do not feel oppressed and or compelled to get everything on the list done that day, or it's the end of the world. Now, I used to have this problem myself, and I needed to get a major deliverance, and I got a major deliverance, and I got delivered of it, and I'm really happy I got delivered of that, because it was awful. And what I would do is I would have a list of things to do on a Saturday. And I would get into this mentality. It was a demonic thing. I would get into this thing of, I got to get all five of these things done. And if I don't, it's just like, you know, it's a big deal. And so I would bang and bang and fight to get these things done. And the whole time, instead of being relaxed and happy and walking in the Spirit, I would be under an oppression. And I would just be driven and just, this way. And I woke up one day and just realized, hey, this is not of God. That was smart of me, wasn't it? After a few years of that. So I got delivered from that thing. And it's different now. Now what I do is I've still got a list of things, but what I do is I go in, I start right out working on those things, not allowing distractions or interferences. I've got contingencies. Things come up. For example, yesterday, I had it planned that I was going to do a certain thing. But it came out in the paper, Fernie's is having a sale on rhododendrons. $9.95 each, three for $28 for the size that normally goes for over twice that much. And I needed three rhododendrons. So I said, okay, I'm going to take these plans, and I'm going to push them into this and do them at this other time, because I've got my schedule laid out in advance anyway. I'm going to push this off for a week. I'm going to do this over here instead. I went down to Fernie's, bought the rhododendrons, bought some other stuff to go with it, because that's another thing I need to do this year. Got it all, came home, and got them all set up, ready to go, so I can plant them at a given time and so on. Now, see, that I dumped my plan, but not wrongly so, not stupidly so, you see. I pushed it off. I was not doing what I was doing because of a mood or a feeling. I was doing it for intelligent, definite reasons, not kidding myself, not lying to myself, not, well, I've been working hard and I think I'll just kind of kick around the house. But you see what I'm saying? And that's the difference, okay? So again, flexibility can be as important as rigidity in its proper application, you see. You don't be so rigid that you do stupid things. Would have been stupid of me to say, well, now, I'm not going to go to Fernie's and get those rhododendrons because that's planned for 2 weeks from now. So instead, I'll go get them 2 weeks from now and pay 2.5 times the money for them. No, that would be dumb. Okay? All right. Now, but what you do then is you start out and you go to work on what you're going to do. And if things come in that prevent you from doing it, you go to plan B. And you've got plan B right in your hip pocket, ready to go. You go right to plan B and you just keep working. And at the end of the day, out of your list of 5 things, you've got 2 done. Or you've got 3 done. Now, if you don't even have number 1 done, you're not planning realistically. And you need to adjust your way of planning. But you try to plan realistically. You know, 5 things for a Saturday that can reasonably be done. And if you, you know, underestimate or overestimate, and you only get 2 of them done, that's okay. That's fine. As long as you've been working at it all day, and then you push the rest of them on to next week, number 3, 4, and 5, or to the alternate week, because the next week is your play day. And so 2 weeks later, when you've got another work day coming up, you do it, and you do things this way. Okay? And that way, you can be relaxed and happy, and you don't have to worry about getting all 5 done, or it's the end of the world. I'm a failure if I don't get all 5 of these things done. See, there's kind of a subconscious deal there that comes in. And it's like, no, I'm going to work at these things. I'm going to work at a happy, relaxed pace, and I'm just going to, you know, go through here. And whatever I get done, I get done, and the other will be planned for another time. And that's the way to do that. Now, you may be going along, and things might happen that you can't control, like a flat tire on the car. And all you can do is get out and fix the flat tire. You have to do it. And that may blitz your plan for that day to some extent. But don't make the mistake that a lot of people do. A lot of people just don't like to work. Or they've got a project plan that is something that they don't like to do, but they know they have to do. Okay? You know what some of those kinds of things are. And so, if any little thing comes up, like if they got a flat tire in the morning, they say, oh, that's it. See? Or if one of the kids spills milk at the table, oh, that's it. Can't do the weeding today. Got to clean this mess up, you know. But clean the mess up, fix the flat tire, and then go back into your plan. Don't let it blitz your whole day. And if something happens, if you break your leg or something that does definitely blitz the whole day, you can just rejoice in the Lord always and know that the same things are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Now, you need to beware. This is point number 6 3/4. I think 6.5 would be, 6 would be beware of oppression, compulsion to get all these things done. 6.5 would be not to allow one little thing that comes in to ruin the whole thing. And 6 3/4 would be to beware of perfectionism. And this is a false perfectionism. A false perfectionism. And what I mean is this. There are people who have a demonic problem. And what it does is they've got, let's say they've got 5 projects to do around the house. But they're into this thing of perfectionism. And one of the projects that needs to be done is that, oh, let's say that the bedroom door is all scratched up and needs to be refinished. And they don't know quite how to do it or this and that, and so they feel like they've got to do it absolutely perfectly. And so because they don't know how to do it perfectly yet and so on, they just kind of put it off and put it off and put it off, and they don't get anything done. But what they don't get done perfectly, see? It's a ridiculous thing, but people function this way. Or they'll take the door off, and they'll work at it and work at it. They'll get it halfway done, and then they'll just kind of freak out. And they'll kind of back away from the thing, and they're afraid to put on that final finished coat. No, I mean this. They're afraid to put on that final finished coat because it might not turn out absolutely perfect. And maybe they were raised by parents that were critical and censorious or something, and they're afraid of criticism. So that anyway, they've opened the door somewhere to a demonic spirit, and they've got this problem. And so the door sits there half done, month after month after month after done, because they're afraid that if they try to finish it, it won't be perfect, and therefore, oh my, you see? And they need deliverance. That's a demon. And they need deliverance from that. They'd be better off consulting with somebody who knows something about refinishing wood and maybe who's done it before or something, or if they don't know anybody like that, talk to the guy at Standard Brands or something. Get an idea of how to do it and just do it. Just do it. I mean, do it. And just do it. And it might not turn out perfectly. There might be a little blitch here and a little blot there that nobody would notice until you point it out to them, which you usually do. If you've got that demon, the first thing you'll do when somebody says, oh, well, that you refinished your door. That looks nice. You say, yeah, it does, except right here and right here. But if you don't do that, it'll look pretty nice, and most people will think it looks pretty nice. And then you just do it. And then you go on to project number two and project number three and project number four. And at the end of 5 years, you got a whole lot of things done and the house looks really nice. Whereas the perfect guy, quote unquote, his house doesn't look anywhere near as nice as yours, but what is done is supposedly perfect. And so beware of that. Now, number seven. Before I get into number seven, here's the note. Some people are prone to spend hours wasting time writing out lists, plans, options, etc. Well, that's true, too. It shouldn't take you but about 10 minutes to plan these kind of things for a weekend or something. You know, you should take sufficient time to plan them, but it's like the guy, it's time to do homework. So he gets the papers perfectly in order. Then he gets the books laid up perfectly. Then he gets his pencil perfectly sharpened. And then, and he does all these things. And, 10 o'clock, time to go to bed. Well, I worked at it. There's a demonic problem there. There's a fear there. There's a fear of doing. And so because there's a fear of doing, you revert to planning. Somehow work out the thing, you see. So don't do that. And maybe I'll answer that one later. Now, number seven. Now, this is important, this number seven. Be deliberate about everything you do. What I mean by that is this. When you're resting, know that you're resting. When you're working, know that you're working. When you goof off, know that you're goofing off. When you're producing, know that you're producing. When you're not producing, know that you're not producing. When you're praying, pray. Really pray. And when you're not praying, know that you're not praying. You see? And so be conscious. What am I doing? I've been sitting here for an hour. I'm supposed to be doing this. I haven't done anything. I've been thinking about this and that and daydreaming. Be aware of what you're doing. I'm going to stop daydreaming. If I don't roll up my sleeves and get into this, it's never going to get done. It's not a task that I like to do. Therefore, I'm going to tackle it first and do it, get it out of the way, rather than sit here and avoid it, you see. Know what you're doing, you see. If you're resting, know that you're resting, and know that you're receiving the benefits of resting. Some people are always telling me, I never get any rest. I never get any sleep. I never have any time to just relax. But then you start prodding and poking into the life and into the schedule, and they spend hours goofing off, daydreaming, fooling around, chit-chatting over coffee, these kinds of things. But you see, they're not planning their life. They're not planning times to relax, and they're not getting quality time to relax. They're getting poor quality of relaxed time. Poor quality study time. Everything they do is poor quality, you see, because it's not planned. Okay? Number eight, don't run to meetings and ministries to avoid facing and dealing with failures in other areas of your life. If you're a failure as a housekeeper and your house is a sloppy, filthy, stinky mess, don't run off to prayer meetings and other things all night, every night, all week long, to avoid having to face the reality of that fact and to have to sit and look around that filthy house. Okay? Now, I'm not saying this to ridicule anyone. I'm saying this to minister a blessing to you and to help you. If if you've got a hang up about dating and you fear dating, don't be running off to meetings and things every night and all this so that you never have time to date, so that you don't have to face your problem. Face your problem and deal with it. Okay? Face your problem and deal with it. If you've got a rotten marriage, and therefore you're off doing things all the time so that you don't have to live with each other and face each other and look at each other and be with each other, get marriage counseling, make some decisions, get some deliverances, and get your marriage right. Okay? Number 9. Never alter your schedule because of moods and feelings. These are usually demonic. Now, you should have, as I mentioned earlier, planned time to do what you feel like. But don't go outside that planned time. In other words, you should have time planned into your schedule on a regular basis, at least every other week, where you are going to be able to do whatever you feel like doing, as long as it's not sinful. But whatever you feel like doing, you can do during that time. And you've got a whole bunch of different options there that you can do. But outside of that, don't alter your schedule because of moods and feelings. I was going to do the weeding, but I don't feel like doing the weeding, so I think I'll watch a basketball game instead. Or I was going to play with the kids, but boy, I haven't been able to do much reading, so I'll do that instead. This is the time that I had scheduled to, you know, take my wife out to lunch or something like this, but I just feel like blah, 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 and so you don't do it. See, that's where the devil comes in. The devil, as I said, has a plan, and he works diligently to get you to follow that plan. Number 10. Don't make wild, unrealistic plans and then dump the whole thing claiming it doesn't work. Now, see, a lot of people will do this. They'll schedule in things. They'll have themselves, you know, working all the time, praying all the other time, and, all, you know, they'll have some wild schedule, 3 hours a day of prayer and, you know, 2 hours a day of study and all this good-sounding stuff. And, you know, you can't live that way. They're working 40 hours a week and whatnot and so on. It's unrealistic from the very beginning. And so they dump the thing. They say, well, I tried that and it doesn't work. You know, I mean, I tried one of these schedules and I got down and I prayed and I committed and all this and I dedicated. But there's a demon working in them to make them deliberately do unrealistic schedule plans so that it'll be bound to fail so that they can dump the whole thing as an excuse. It's just like dieting, same thing. People go on these weird, unrealistic diets, and then they say, well, I can't diet. I tried that. See, this kind of thing. Excuse-making demons. All right? Now, number 11. Discipline does not equal bondage. Lack of discipline equals bondage. Planning will give you more quality leisure time and will allow you to meet more needs in the lives of other people that need to be met than not planning. Because planning before the Lord and under the Lord and in submission to the Lord will cause your steps to be ordered by the Lord. And not planning will cause your steps to be ordered by the devil. And if your steps are ordered by the devil, you're going to be unhappier and you're going to meet less needs that need to be met. And your life is going to be in worse shape. And you're going to be in more bondage and less happy and less relaxed and more uptight without planning than you are with planning. Okay? Now I'd like to talk for just a moment about proper balance in planning. This is the second thing. The first thing, which I said I'd spend more time on, and I kept my promise, was the planning, efficient planning. The second thing is proper balance in planning. Now at Community Chapel, we have various parties, as it were. We've got the Bible college party that wants everybody to be in Bible college. We've got the prayer party that wants everybody to be spending hours in prayer. We've got the Little House on the Prairie party that wants everybody to just kind of stay home and be ma and pa and stay home every night and do things with the kids and just kind of live the good life. Now, all these factions are beckoning. You have to decide. Now, you must realize we are in a war, and we cannot live like you live in peacetime. We are soldiers, and we're in a war. We can't live like our parents did and spend as much time goofing around and taking vacations and doing things as they did necessarily, or spend as much time pursuing other kinds of pursuits as they did. Our parents are not the criteria. Our unsaved neighbors are not the criteria. Our friends at community chapel are not the criteria. We cannot live a life of leisure and then serve God in our spare time as we feel like. We are soldiers in a war, and we must be willing to commit. And if the commitment doesn't cost anything, it's not worth anything. When Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me, he was talking about something that's going to cost you something. So if you plan your life totally around what you feel like doing and around your selfish plans and feelings and ideas and desires, and then if there's any time left over, I'll give it to the Lord, you're not fulfilling that scripture. Okay? So you cannot have it all. You cannot be as studious as the studious, as spiritual as the spiritual, as rich as the rich, and as laid back as the laid back, all at the same time. Now, a lot of women have a problem in this area, and they're constantly nagging their husband to be as spiritual as this guy, and as financially well off as this guy, and as much leisure time as this man. And it's like, well, why can't we do this? The Joneses do this. Well, why aren't you praying like, you know, so-and-so does? Well, why can't we buy this? The so-and-sos buy this, and all this kind of thing, and it's impossible. You cannot have it all, and you shouldn't try to have it all. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, not by nagging demons. Now, you must recognize and live with temporary imbalances at times. For example, if you're working full-time and you've got a family and you feel that God's called you to the ministry and you need to prepare and take Bible college and so on full-time, your life, you're not going to have as much time as you really should ideally spend with your kids. But if you keep that to within a short span of a couple of years, or space it out so that you go full-time for 1 year or 2 years and then take a year off or something, so that you should not have a six-year period where you're virtually ignoring your kids. God's not going to call you to do that. He's not going to call you to ruin the lives of your children so that you can be in the ministry. That's absurd. But there may be 1 year where you really are not spending hardly any time with them because of needing to finish up Bible college for a certain reason or this, you see. But if it's much longer than that, you know, life is short for a kid, and 1 year is long to him. And so you need to be cognizant of that. But there may be seasons where you are really not in balance, but it's only for a short season. When Don first started this church, he was not in balance. He was working way too much. And if he had kept up at that pace, he'd be dead and buried now, and we'd have a new pastor, you see. And so he has a lot more leisure time in his life now than he did then, and he's delegated a lot more time things. But back then, he was about the only one that knew anything. And so if he would have put people in charge of teaching who didn't know anything and didn't know what they were talking about, and people in charge of counseling who didn't have their heads screwed on straight yet and didn't know what they were talking about, and delegated things like that, it would have been a mess, you see. And so he had, for a season, to live in a less than ideal way and really work what would be too much and so on, but it was only for a season. And then as people came up, grew up, and learned things and so on, and he was able to delegate things, take more time off, and get into more of a balance. And I believe that it was the will of God. Maybe he did make some mistakes back then, but I think basically it was the will of God that he did things like he did them. Even though you could look at it and say, boy, that guy's obviously out of balance. Well, yes, he is if he tries to go 10 years that way. But if it's only a year or two, sometimes God will call you to do that. You know, I mean, this is war. And sometimes there's night-long battles and things like that. Okay? And so there are times when you can't do what you'd normally do. You got a brand new baby in the house, and so you have to do things different until the baby is older and so on. But beware of establishing bad habits. Now, if you establish habits of always doing everything yourself and never delegating anything, then you're going to kill yourself as the church gets bigger and so on. Or if you establish habits of not relating to your kids and being around them because of going full-time to Bible college and working full-time and not actually having the time, but then when you do have the time, you don't move into that because now you've, you know, beware of that, you see. Beware of establishing bad habits that are going to carry over to when your schedule does get more balanced. So get balanced as soon as you can. Now, and don't allow those imbalances to continue for very long. And wait carefully before the Lord, before you plunge yourself into any imbalance like that. Think twice, get counsel, because you're doing what is normally wrong to do, you know. And whatever you're going to do, what's normally wrong to do, you better watch out. Maybe it's of the Lord, maybe you should do it, but you need to be very careful, okay? Now, we are in a war, but homes must be clean and peaceful. Children must be happy and secure. That doesn't mean meeting every whim and desire and everything they nag for in their immaturity, but the kids have to be ministered to, happy and secure. Physical health must be maintained. Mental health must be maintained. Marriages must be happy and secure. Finances must be adequate. And all these things are a base upon which ministry is built. And if these things are out of whack, you're going to crash. And so these things are what give you your base of operation for the ministry and for life. So though we're in a war, an army moves on a full stomach. Now, a proper schedule over the long haul must take all of these into account. And again, with exceptions of certain temporary things, but basically over the long haul, a proper schedule will take all these things into account according to God's thinking, not America's or your upbringing or your unsaved neighbors or your saved friends, but according to God's thinking. Now, questions have been asked, and I'm just going to ask these questions. And then for the answers to these questions, what we're going to do is this. We are going to come out with, and you'll be seeing in the bulletin probably in two or three weeks from now, we're going to announce in the bulletin, we're going to have a handout. And on this handout, we're going to have a number of examples of what we would consider to be basically balanced schedules for people in different life circumstances. The married guy who's trying to go to Bible college, the single woman who's trying to do this, and all this kind of thing. People of different ages and circumstances, family sizes, work schedules, shifts, etc., etc., etc. And under these different examples, we're going to give what we would feel to be a balanced schedule. Now, this is not going to be something that came from Mount Sinai, carved in stone, which all who fit into these circumstances must follow. It's just going to be an example of what would usually, barring any unforeseen abnormalities, be a balanced and proper schedule, okay? And we'll come out. Now, I don't want Lynn Kaufman to be deluged with phone calls now. What I'd like you to do is work on the first part of this message and really apply that. And I covered a lot of things and I had to do it quickly. And you might even want to listen to the tape, you know, if you feel like, you know, things went by faster than you could really get them down. But really pray about and consider what's been brought this morning. And then, if you feel a need for help in knowing what is a balanced schedule, and you want to do what's right before the Lord, and you're not playing any games, and you're not trying to kid yourself or anybody else, but you're sincere, and you really want to know what is a balanced schedule, just wait until this handout comes out. Then look at the handout, read it over, think about it, pray about it. If you still need to talk to someone beyond that, then you could go ahead and call Lynn Kaufman, and she could give you to a counselor. And they can help you to make up a schedule. We're not going to tell you how to run your life. Now, that's something you're going to have to get before the Lord and make your own decision about. All we're going to do, we don't want to tell you how to run your life. All we're going to do is just give some examples, and you can look at those and prayerfully consider what you should do, okay? And I'm going to give you a list of questions that we're going to attempt to answer in this handout. And I'm going to wrap up this whole Sunday school lesson here in about less than 2 minutes. questions. These are maybe one-tenth of the questions that have been asked. We've had probably 100 questions asked, and here's 10 of them. How many nights or days, if you work swing shift, should you be gone? You know, we know we're not supposed to be out running around every night, but what is the balance? How much time should you spend alone all by yourself? How much time should you spend with your spouse? How much time should you spend with your kids? How much time should you spend in prayer? How much time should you devote to ministries, and how many ministries should you try to carry? How many hours of Bible college should you take? How many hours should you spend working? Now, these are all legitimate questions, and we're going to attempt to answer these. And, of course, we're not going to be able to give precise answers that apply to everybody on a set of examples like this. But we are going to give some just, you know, basic, suggested things like this that I believe will help to answer some of these questions for you. So we'll be coming out and announcing in the bulletin how that's available and where and when. And you will be able, through that or through counsel or whatever is necessary, you will be able to sit down and make up a schedule for yourself. But the question is, and this is what I've spent most of my time on this morning because this is the most important, once you've done that, will you follow it? Or will you allow the devil to come in and turn it upside down? Will your steps be ordered of the Lord or ordered by demon spirits? And this is what you need to decide, and this is what you need to work on and pray about and make commitments on, certainly more importantly than the schedule itself. So your steps can be ordered by the Lord if you want them to be. There's no one here who has to throw up their hands and say, no, I'm an undisciplined, chaotic person. There's no such thing. You can become a person whose steps are ordered by the Lord. And we can help you do that if you need help. The Lord will help you do that. And if you'll make those decisions and if you're willing to pay the price on a weekly basis to do that, to live a disciplined life, to resist demon spirits, not live by moods and feelings, but live by principles that you know are right ahead of time, if you're willing to pay the price to do it, you're going to reap the dividends of it. God bless you.